It was only 2 days ago, Friday, that the people of Jerusalem had watched as Jesus had been crucified as a heretic of the Jews and as a traitor of the Romans. For 3 years, Jesus had traveled throughout Israel, preaching and teaching and healing the sick and feeding the hungry. He stilled or he calmed the storms and he cast out demons. And during that time, he had won the hearts of the people and he alienated the hearts of the religious leaders of the day. And if there had been those present that Friday afternoon who were inclined to take bets, they would have bet on Jesus as a loser. And after they had watched him being beaten up, they watched the crown of thorns being forced onto his head. And as they watched him being nailed to the cross and dying there as he hung on the cross, they knew he was dead. They not only heard that he died, but they had seen him die. But then came Sunday. Today, it started as a day marked with mourning, but today it was a day of celebration. It started as a day when the forces of evil celebrated victory, but today it is seen as a day when goodness and grace triumphed. It started as a day when people paused to remember what man did to God. But today is a day when people stop and remember what God has done for man. Isn't that marvelous, friends? C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." The apostles, the disciples, as we call them, they couldn't go back to change what happened on Friday. But through his grace, Jesus offered them an opportunity to start again, to change the ending. But it wasn't just, friends, their present that was changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their future was changed. The world is what it is because of Jesus. Not because of his teaching, not because of his death, but because of his resurrection. Without the resurrection, friends, the life and ministry of Jesus would have had very little impact on the world. His words would have been forgotten. His teachings would have been lost in the tragedy of his death. But all that changed because he rose from the dead. All that changed. And we remember from the scriptures that it changed when a woman went to anoint his body and found the empty tomb. That's when the change happened. Because Jesus told them 40 days after he rose from the dead what his church would accomplish and how they would accomplish it. Not because on Friday he died on the cross, but because on Sunday God raised him from the dead. That's the difference. If there had been no resurrection, if the resurrection didn't take place, the disciples would have left Jerusalem discouraged and defeated. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have come. The church would not have been founded, and the world will still be a dark place today. But that all changed because of the resurrection. You know, the resurrection is such an exciting event in the Christian life that if people started to take that seriously, there would be only room to stand here. People will be standing against the wall, behind, everywhere. You wouldn't have found a place to sit. The resurrection is the most important event in the life of the Christian. A Muslim said to a Christian one day, "We Muslims have one thing that you Christians do not have. When we go to Medina, which is in Saudi Arabia, we find a coffin and we know that Muhammad lived because his body is in it. But when you Christians go to Jerusalem, you find nothing but an empty tomb." "Thank you," exclaimed the Christian. "What you say is absolutely true. That makes the eternal difference. The reason why we find an empty tomb is because we serve a risen Christ." Amen. Amen. Friends, today we celebrate this resurrection of Jesus Christ because our Lord is alive and well. Our Lord has defeated death and hell and the grave. Yes, there is more to Easter than just this Sunday, because Easter is not just an event on the Christian calendar. It is an experience with God. A lot of people, for them, Easter is just a holiday, a four-day weekend of no work and fun. For others, it's chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs. But for a Christian, Easter means the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It means the promise of life after death. It means hope for a better life. It means joy unspeakable. The resurrection of Jesus is the basis of our faith. If Jesus had not been risen from the dead, we would have been wasting our time here. The words, "He is not here, he is, but he is risen," has changed the course of history. And those words continue to do so. We're going to look at our text in Mark chapter 16. Verse 1 to 8. Mark chapter 16. "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to one another, to anyone, for they were afraid." Friends, it was early the first Easter morning when the small group of women are making their way to the tomb that hope was in short supply. Their spirits had been crushed by the same nails that pierced the hands and feet of Jesus. They were discouraged, they were disheartened, and they were defeated. And as they walked along that long, lonely path to the tomb, it suddenly dawned on them, and they said to each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? For these women, the stone was a barrier. It was a weight that needed to be moved in order for them to get to the body of Jesus. The question on their minds was, who will roll away the stone? The stone itself probably weighed hundreds of pounds. Even if they worked together, even if they tried to let's do it together, they would not have been able to move the stone, friends. And as far as they were concerned, it was an insurmountable obstacle. But verse 4 says, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Isn't that marvelous? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. People often ask, why was the stone rolled away? Well, listen to this, friends. The stone was not rolled away for Jesus to come out. The stone was rolled away so that we can see in. Catch that. Grab it. The stone was not rolled away so that Jesus can come out. The stone was rolled away so that we can see in. Why do you say that, Keith? Because the empty tomb is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Do you see that, friends? The empty tomb is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Critics have tried to explain it away, but they were unable. The empty tomb still stands as evidence to all that Jesus is not dead, that Jesus is alive. Easter means victory, victory over death, hell, and the grave. Many of us have heard about a young man named Aaron Ralston, an avid outdoorsman and mountain climber. Do you know that on April 26, 2003, he was climbing alone just outside Canyonlands National Park in southeastern Utah? And as he was maneuvering in a 3-foot-wide slot, trying to get over the top of a huge boulder that wedged between the narrow canyon walls, he climbed up the boulder face and it seemed to be stable as he stood on top of it. And as he began climbing down the other side of the rock, this perfectly balanced 800-pound rock shifted several feet, pinning his right arm to the rock next to it. He was trapped. Ralston, you can Google this, you'll read the story. Ralston had calculated his options and came up with 4 possible solutions. The first thing he said is, I can just stay here and hopefully someone will come by. Secondly, I can maybe use my other arm to chip away at the rock. This big boulder, I'll chip away and eventually I will free my arm. No. Thirdly, he said, maybe I can use my other arm and take my ropes and tie it around there and use it as a lever on this big rock and pull it up. No, that didn't work. He said, fourthly, if all things fail, I will have to cut my arm off. The fifth option he didn't even want to consider, and that was just stay there until you die. In order to survive, he settled for the fourth option and he cut off his arm. Can you imagine? I am sure, friends, that deep down in his heart, he had hoped that the stone will just roll away. We all know what that's like. You know why? We all have our own stones. You know yours. You know its size, its shape, its circumference. Your stone doesn't cover the entrance to a tomb in Jerusalem, Rather, your path is blocked by the boulders, by the insurmountable obstacles like debt you can't pay, broken relationships you can't fix, sickness you can't beat, people you can't please, the past you can't shake, the future you can't face. And the reality is, friends, by ourselves, we aren't strong enough to roll those stones away. And we feel trapped. But friends, listen. Jesus does for us what he did for the woman on the first Easter Sunday morning. Their lives were forever changed because he rolled the stone away. That stone represented their fears and failures as Jesus' closest friends. His resurrection rolled away the stone that hindered their faith and their future. As I said, friends, we all have stones in our lives. They are a barrier to us, and they get in the way of us getting to Jesus. What stone is holding you back this morning, friends? We all have something we need to remove from our lives in order to have the peace that God desires for us. The stone blocking the entrance to the tomb, to his own tomb, Jesus moved no less than 5 other stones that Easter morning. And I just want to briefly talk about each one. Firstly, was the stone of discouragement. To say that these women were discouraged is an understatement. They were devastated and heartbroken. Why? They believed in Jesus. They put their faith and their hopes and their dreams in him, in a man they believed was God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But then he died. But they weren't the only ones feeling discouraged either. All of Jesus's followers were discouraged and disheartened and disillusioned and disappointed. I think of 2 fellas, you know that incident in the Bible, walking on the road to Emmaus. They spoke for everyone when they said these words. We had hoped that he was the one. We had hoped. Do you see the past tense of that word? And anytime you speak of hope in the past tense, friends, you are in trouble. A soul without hope is like a body without food. Can you identify with these disciples? Have you ever had your hopes crushed right in front of you? We've all had our hopes and dreams. And when those hopes go unfulfilled and when those hopes are shattered, it's discouraging and sometimes devastating. We've all been there. But when Mary and the others saw their risen Savior, it changed. John 20:20 says, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Isn't that something? Listen to how the Message paraphrase of the Bible puts it. The disciples seeing the Master with their own eyes were exuberant. Listen how the New Century version puts it. The followers were thrilled when they saw the Lord. One more. The Living Bible says, how wonderful was their joy as they saw their Lord. Friends, seeing Jesus made all the difference. And in that moment, they went from hopelessness and depression to joy and excitement. I like how Peter says it. Peter says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. When we put our faith in Jesus, we will never experience a lack of hope. Listen, everybody, when we put our faith in Jesus, we will never experience a lack of hope. Psalm 22, verse 5 said, they trusted in you and were not disappointed. Isn't that a lovely verse? They trusted in you and were not disappointed. Friends, apart from Christ, life is full of disappointments and discouragement. But Jesus gives us hope. When we hang our hopes on the things of this world, and maybe people are like that, eh? They put their hope on the things of this world. We are only building castles in the sand. But when our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, then we are standing on a solid rock. We are standing on solid ground, and we will never be disappointed. You know, the hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus rolls away the stone of discouragement. If you are discouraged, friends, this Easter Sunday morning, or as we call it, the Resurrection Sunday morning, look to the Lord, trust him that he will take this disappointment out of your life so that you have access to him. Secondly, he rolls away the stone of dread. You know what's dread? Fear. Dread. Something greatly feared. After Jesus was crucified, the disciples were even more terrified. Do you agree? They were certain that they were next. The Bible says in John 20, 19, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus had told them to meet him in Galilee, but they wouldn't go. They were too terrified. Fear does that to us, doesn't it? Fear does that to us, doesn't it? Fear closes the windows and locks the doors. Fear is a prison we make for ourselves, and it keeps us from accomplishing that which God wants us to do. Perhaps you have a fear of being made a fool of. Maybe you have a fear of being found out about something you're not proud of. Maybe it's a fear of rejection that keeps you from sharing your faith. Maybe it's a fear of death. And over this COVID time, man, there are people are terrified of dying. I'm talking about blood-washed, spirit-filled Christians. Come on, man. A fear of passion, perhaps, that prevents you from having meaningful relationships. Maybe it's a fear of failure that prevents you from trying something new. And as the disciples cowered behind the locked doors, Jesus appeared to them in John 20, verse 19. Suddenly, Jesus came and stood right in the middle of them and said, oh, you horrible people, look how you're hiding. No, he didn't say that. He said, peace be with you. Peace is opposite to fear. Their fear was transformed into faith. The next thing you know, these same fearful followers are out on the streets and in the synagogues, boldly proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. You see what made the difference, friends? What made the difference is maybe the promise Jesus made to them in Matthew 28, verse 20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Whatever challenges we make, whatever obstacles we face, friends, we don't have to be afraid because we are not alone. God is by our side. And as the hymn writer says, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. And of course, he's talking about Jesus. Don't be afraid, friends. Jesus removes the stone of dread. Thirdly, he also removes the stone of doubt. Thomas missed the first appearance of Jesus, and while others hid behind locked doors, Thomas went for a walk. He was out on his own. No one knows why Thomas wasn't there, but he haven't given him a break after that. He has been criticized for it. You know what we call him now? Doubting Thomas. Let's look what the Bible says in John 20, 24 and 25. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it. I doubt it," he says, "unless I see the nail wounds in his hand, put my finger into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." Thomas was a skeptic. He wouldn't believe it until he saw the evidence. But he certainly isn't the only one to doubt their Christian faith. There are people who are struggling with doubt. Perhaps you once had some doubts of your own. That the resurrection of Jesus removes any doubt we may have, friends. There's nothing wrong with being skeptical, as long as we're willing to follow where the evidence leads. This Thomas reminds me of a man named Lee Strobel. Have you heard of Lee Strobel? Lee Strobel was an investigative journalist and editor for the Chicago Tribune, and he was a confirmed atheist. That is, until his wife became a Christian. As her faith grew, he saw so many changes in her life, and he was afraid of losing her. So he set out. I'm an investigative journalist. I am going on a mission to investigate Jesus Christ. And my goal at first is to prove to my wife that Jesus is not the Son of God. But things didn't go exactly as planned. He used the resources of the Chicago Tribune to contact scholars and historians from around the world, investigating the reliability of Jesus's biographies. But everything hinged on the resurrection. Everything hinged on the resurrection. If Jesus really died and came back to life on the third day, then that validated everything he said and proved that he was the one he claimed to be. The evidence was irresistible. After nearly 2 years of investigation, Lee sat down at his desk with a legal pad and a pen and drew a line down the middle. On one side, he wrote all the evidence against Jesus being the Son of God, and the one on the other, all the evidence for it. Overwhelmed by his own discoveries, he bowed his head and gave his heart to Jesus Christ right there. Thomas did the same thing, friends. Thomas did the same thing. Upon seeing the evidence, seeing Jesus with his own eyes, Thomas fell on his knees and exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." The resurrection of Jesus moves the stone of doubt. You don't need to doubt anymore, friends. Listen, Jesus is alive. Fourthly, he also moves the stone of defeat. Peter, my favorite Bible character, was such a simple yet passionate follower of Jesus. On the night Jesus was arrested, man, Peter was all in, hey? Peter grabbed the sword and cut the guy's ear off. And he was just a punk. Peter said in John 13, verse 37, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. But by sunrise, he had failed. He had folded. John 13, verse 38, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Jesus was right. Peter was wrong. He failed Jesus when it counted most, friends. Do you ever feel like you fail? I'm a champion at that. I fail, man. You say, well, not me. I'm it. No, you fail too. We all fail, friends. We fail in so many ways. Peter's failure hung over his head like a dark cloud. He was ready to quit. In fact, Peter, and he went back to what he knew best. Peter said, I'm going fishing. He hadn't fished for 3 years. No, but I'm going back. He was returning to his old life. He was ready to give up being a follower of Jesus. Peter and the other disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee. They were fishing all night and no success. I'm sure Peter must have been thinking, and I even suck at being a fisherman now. I can't even catch a fish. I fail there. I fail, yeah. I'm just a glorified, bona fide failure. But then Jesus shows up. He tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat, and the Bible tells us they caught 153 fish. The Bible gives the exact number. And they weren't just little fish. They were large fish. Later, Jesus sits with them on the beach, and they have breakfast. And during that meal, Jesus asked Peter three times. Simple. Hey, buddy. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And all times, Jesus, Peter saying, yes, I love you, Lord. Yes, yes. And you know, the last words that Jesus spoke to Peter are exactly the same words that he first spoke to Peter. Remember in Matthew 4, Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And now in John 21, 19, right at the end of Jesus, the Gospels, Jesus simply said to Peter, okay, follow me. Do you see that, friends? Follow me. In a Nike commercial on TV several years ago, a voice comes over the television saying, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I have been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Those words were spoken by Michael Jordan. Just because we fail doesn't mean we quit, friends. Just because we have been defeated in the past doesn't mean we give up. We have a God of second chances who rolls away the stone of defeat. You say, hey, Keith, you know what, man? I'm a champion of defeat. Being defeated. I tried this, failed, tried that, failed. Don't quit, friends. Let Jesus roll that stone of defeat out of your life. Finally, He also rolls away the stone of death. Death. Ever since the Garden of Eden, death has been the arch enemy of humanity. Do you agree? And death always wins. The odds that you will eventually die in a car accident is 1 to 125,000. That's the chances of dying. The odds, the ratio of dying in a car crash. The chance of dying in a fire is 1 to 4 million. The chance of dying to cancer is 1 to whatever. But the chance of dying is 1 to 1. Isn't that true? Man, you can hide under your bed. And we'll find you there another time. You can't escape this. Death is inescapable. It comes to every living thing. And for thousands of years, death has stalked its prey with 100% success rates until Jesus conquered death through his resurrection. And he offers to do the same for you and me. I love the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 15:20-22. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, that's Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, that's Jesus. Just as everyone dies, because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ, listen, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life.
Amen.
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 Adam's sin allowed, throughout Jesus's ministry, friends, he promised one thing that no one else could ever offer. He promised eternal life. He promised immortality. That's what Jesus came to the world to offer. John 10, verse 10, Jesus boldly declared, "I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Adam's sin allowed death to claim every human's life. Christ's death challenged this claim and nullified it in the resurrection. Adam gave us all death, but Jesus offers us all life. Amen. Friends, listen. In other words, real life can only be found in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many vitamin pills you pop. It doesn't matter how many exercises you do and how hard you work out in the gym. Only Jesus can give you real life. At conception, we received as part of our human inheritance the gift of death. But at conversion, we receive Christ's gift of eternal life. The choice is between death and life, and we choose life. Amen. I want to end now. Have you ever wondered why God rolled the stone away from Jesus' tomb? I said, it's not for Jesus to come out, but for us to look in. I think he moved the stone for the woman, for the disciples, and for you and I. He moved the stone just to show us that he could. And he still moves stones. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever challenges you face, friends, whatever boulders block your path, whether it's defeat or discouragement or depression or doubt or dread or even death, just know that he is still in the Rolling Stones business. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's thinking, oh, wow, Rolling Stones. And today he stands ready to remove or to roll your stone away. He's ready to move yours if you will surrender to him. You have a chance to do that right here in your heart right now. Say, Lord, this is something that's blocking me from having a meaningful relationship with you. This is what's coming in the way. This is what's distracting me. I struggle with all the time. And he says, I know. Let me roll it out in the way for you. This morning, it doesn't matter if the stone that weighs you down is only a pebble or a boulder. If it's a hindrance to you, if it's in your way, it needs to be removed. This Easter or this Resurrection Sunday can be your victory over the burdens and the worries of life. It can be the start of a new beginning with God who is alive. Allow the Lord Jesus to drop the weight of sin, disappointment and despair in your life. And we conclude as we affirm again, Dwight said it earlier with us, our hope in the living Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay. You tried. But let's give it another go.
Yeah.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's bow our heads, fathers. Lord, we all look so lovely on the outside, all the beautiful smiles. And when we hear about your resurrection, man, we have this joy just warm up inside of us. And we feel so encouraged and so motivated to serve you. And then we get thrown a curveball, where we are reminded about what's blocking us, Lord, discouragement and disappointment and fear and dread and death and all these things just come up in, and they try to rob us, Lord, of this time. I pray in the name of Jesus that we will walk in the light of this reality, that we serve a risen Lord. And Lord, this will bless us as we move forward in you. Help everyone, Lord. No one here is exempt from your help. Bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, friends.